Chapter 39, A Welcome Disaster. Shmuel gazed silently at Reb Gavriel. He was amazed that the kind Talmud Chacham, who taught him how to learn Torah with such patience, had such an unexpected background. He was also a little embarrassed that an elderly man would share such personal information with someone so young. Reb Gavriel then told him that in his old age, after he had married off all of his children, and after his wife had passed away, he donated everything he owned to tzedakah and moved into a small room that was attached to the Beis Medrash. Shmuel continued learning with Reb Gavriel for another few weeks. Then, one night, Reb Gavriel suggested that Shmuel leave Arsha and travel to Debre Missel. "The Rosh Yeshiva in Debre Missel is a good friend of mine," he explained. "I will give you a glowing letter of introduction to take along. I have no doubt that he will gladly accept you as a student in his yeshiva." Shmuel took Reb Gavriel's advice and traveled to Debre Missel. He handed the letter to the local Rosh Yeshiva. To his relief, the Rosh Yeshiva beamed in delight when he saw who had written the letter. "I consider it my pleasure and duty to fulfill the request of my dear friend, the Gaon Reb Gavriel," he exclaimed. He welcomed Shmuel into his yeshiva with open arms. This then was the story of how Shmuel, the blacksmith's son, turned into a young Torah scholar. His story made a deep impression on Baruch. "People say," Shmuel told Baruch as if he was sharing a secret, "that the respected guest who visited Arsha and took care of Gavriel, turning a young thief into a Gaon and a Baal Tzedakah, was really one of the traveling Nestarim." "Well," Baruch replied thoughtfully, "that certainly makes sense." The three friends, Baruch, Shmuel, and Yitzchak Shaul, looked forward to sharing each other's company for the Yom Tov of Pesach. The night of Pesach arrived. The Beis Medrash of Debre Missel filled with people wearing their finest Yom Tov clothes. As they prepared to begin Ma'ariv, two Jews entered the shul, very upset and arguing loudly with each other. They waved their arms wildly as they spoke, drawing everyone's attention. People were surprised. Aaron Shmuel and Bezalel Chaim had been good friends for years, and they were also business partners. Together they owned and ran a successful brewery. They produced high-quality beer that was sold all around the country. What on earth could have happened to make them argue noisily in public, in shul, on the first night of Pesach? It had all started shortly before Pesach, when each of the partners left their homes to make their way to the Beis Medrash. They were looking forward to celebrating the joy of Yom Tov with their families and guests. Then they met each other in the street, and the trouble began. At first, they were happy to see each other, and they chatted as they strolled along the side of the road. Soon enough, though, they discovered that they had forgotten to sell the chametz in their brewery. Each of them had thought that the other partner was going to take care of it, and no one had. What were they going to do now? It was the night of Pesach, and they still owned warehouses filled with real chametz. Every beer barrel, all of their factory equipment, their countless sacks of grain, it was all absolute chametz. It was forbidden, according to the Torah, to own any of it. The news spread throughout the Beis Medrash. A large crowd gathered around the partners as they approached the Rav to ask him what to do. The Rav called for the Dayan, and the two Rabbanim spent some time in discussion. Eventually, the Rav turned to the heartbroken partners. "All the beer that has already been made must be poured out. No one is allowed to use it for anything at all," the Rav informed the two men. "As for the containers, equipment, grains, and other items in your warehouses and the brewery, lock them up well until after Pesach. Come back to me then, and I will tell you what to do with them." It was clear that the two partners had lost much of what they owned. That, however, was not their biggest concern. They were far more disturbed by the fact that they owned chametz on Pesach, a most serious avera. To think that they had put so much effort into making their homes sparkling clean and free of every crumb and the finest trace of chametz, without realizing that they still owned a huge amount of real chametz. Tzal Chaim turned to the Rav with teary eyes and begged him to show him a way to do teshuvah. Aaron Shmuel quickly joined his partner's request. The Rav felt sorry for these simple men with so much Yiras Shamayim. They clearly felt shattered at the thought of owning so much chametz on Pesach. You're going to lose a huge amount of property, he told them. And because you accept this willingly and care more about doing what Hashem wants from you than about your property, Hashem will accept your loss as your teshuvah. The Rav continued to encourage the men. He reminded them that it was the first night of Yom Tov and they had to remain calm and be happy. He urged them to forget their worries and concentrate on celebrating Pesach with their families in joy and absolute trust in Hashem. After Ma'ariv, everyone left the Beis Medrash and made their way back to their homes. Naturally, the entire Dabar Misal chatted about the story of the two partners. In the home of Eliezer Reuven, the blacksmith, it was the topic of much conversation. Naturally, the blacksmith's two older sons-in-law discussed only the halachic details of the situation and were soon lost in deep debate. Yitzchak Shaul, Baruch, and Shmuel discussed the impressive Yiras Shamayim and simple faith of the partners. As for Bezalel Chaim himself, although the Rav had calmed him down somewhat, the thought of owning all that chametz made him feel completely crushed. Deep in his heart, he did not feel that losing all that beer, grain, and equipment was truly enough for his teshuva. After thinking it over for a while, he reached a firm decision. He would not have anything more to do with the brewery. As far as he was concerned, his business was finished. He would find another way to earn a living. Having made this brave decision, he finally felt calm. In his mind, there was no longer a brewery to worry about. He joined his family to begin the Seder, joyfully and with peace of mind. Late that night, after the Seder ended, Bezalel Chaim happened to glance out of his window. A bright orange line glowed over the horizon. A fire must have broken out somewhere in Dabar Misal. Soon, the streets swarmed with people rushing towards the fire. As the sky turned red, the wind carried a sharp smell of smoke across town. Bezalel Chaim stepped into the street and hurried towards the flames. As he drew closer, the strange feeling in his heart grew stronger. Before long, he stood before giant flames that leapt out of windows and roared through rooftops. It only took one look to see that the burning buildings were beyond hope. Yes, it was true. His brewery and the two nearby houses would soon be burned to ashes. Dawn broke over Dabar Misal and the flames were extinguished. Nothing was left of the brewery and neighboring homes. The Jewish residents of Dabar Misal gathered around Bezalel Chaim, sympathizing at the disaster that had destroyed his business. To their surprise, Bezalel Chaim beamed in absolute delight, as if he had just won a fortune. Poor man, they thought to themselves. The sight of his entire business going up in flames must have caused him to lose his mind. Bezalel Chaim walked quickly around the crowd, searching for his business partner. When he did not find him, he rushed to his partner's home to wake him. Aaron Shmuel, he yelled in great excitement, I have fantastic news for you. His partner jumped out of bed and hurried to the door. Our brewery burned to the ground, Bezalel Chaim told him happily. Baruch Hashem, our brewery went up in flames. Aaron Shmuel rubbed his eyes in astonishment and replied, Is that what you call good news? Yes, yes, insisted Bezalel Chaim. Don't you understand? All of our chametz has been burned. Hashem helped us by destroying our chametz. And to think that I had just made a vow not to have anything to do with the brewery again. What a blessing! Aaron Shmuel digested the shocking news. Then he slowly nodded his head, Hashem gave, and Hashem took. May the name of Hashem be blessed, he said quietly. Bezalel Chaim marched off to the Beis Medrash, his heart singing merrily within him. There he found a large group of people discussing ways to help the two partners who had just suffered such a terrible loss. One of the people mentioned that it seemed that Hashem had sent the fire as a punishment for not selling the chametz before Pesach. Not a punishment, Bezalel Chaim quickly corrected him. It was a gift, a wonderful gift from heaven. Hashem has shown us that he has forgiven our sin. A few minutes later, additional details arrived at the Beis Medrash. The cause of the fire had been discovered. Two elderly non-Jewish residents of Deber Missel, who had been neighbors for most of their lives, got into a fight on the day before Pesach. One of the men attacked his neighbor with an iron bar, breaking his bones and leaving him bleeding on the ground, badly wounded. The son of the injured man was determined to avenge his father. In the darkness of night, he went to the neighbor's home and locked the door securely from the outside. He then set the house on fire. Three of the people sleeping in the house woke up and managed to escape through a window. The other four members of the family died in the fire. The fire spread to the home of the neighbor who had set the fire, and from there it spread to the brewery. The Jews were shocked to hear of the awful deaths. In the short time that was left until Shacharis, they decided to recite Tehillim. Bezalel Chaim stood on the bima, reading one pasuk after another in a loud voice. The people standing around him were inspired by the enthusiasm with which he recited the holy words. Their voices blended with his, and they could not help but be amazed that a man who had lost his entire fortune just a few hours earlier could sing Hashem's praises so joyfully and confidently.